2, and we'll jump into the Word. So, Father, we want to say how grateful we are. Like Pastor Russ said, that one of our core values is sending, and we've got a lot of sending going on in our church right now. And, God, we pray that you would really grace over these two young ladies who took a huge step of faith. We've got one in the Philippines and one in Papua New Guinea, and they're facing things they've never seen. They're seeing darkness they've never seen. They're seeing things as simple as imparting oral hygiene as a means to make somebody's life better. God, I pray that you would give them grace to pray, to preach, to speak the gospel, to live it out, to love. I pray that their skits would communicate the life of God. I pray that their words would communicate the life of God. I pray that their actions would communicate the life of God. Continue to protect them. Keep them safe from bugs in food, flu bugs, mosquitoes, all of the stuff that they are dealing with. God, I pray that you would keep their team safe. They're traveling. I pray that you would give them mercy in all their travels, that all the traveling would be safe without any difficulty or harm. So God, I pray that you would again undergird them, cover over them, be their front and their rear guard. And God, I pray that you would give them fruitfulness in all their energy, that those that they speak with, speak to, touch, act for, demonstrate with, whatever it is that they do, that it would communicate that Jesus loves them and that you would use them in that. So to draw many to Christ as a result of them and their team's faithfulness. God, I also pray over this morning, the word that we're going to look at right now. Pray, God, that you give me grace to speak clearly what you put on my heart. I pray also, God, for each person in the room, everybody online that's listening, that you would give us attentive ears to hear what your Spirit would say. So God, we love you. We ask that you would help us as we look at the word right now. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 20. Anybody know what Exodus chapter 20 is? It's the 10. Anybody know what the 10 is? The 10 commandments. This is like the heavyweight chapter. You guys all know, wake up, you guys. You look asleep. How's everybody doing? That wasn't very convincing. How's everybody doing? Okay, that's better. That's better. So we're jumping into the Ten Commandments this morning. And this morning, because I knew we were doing praying and different things like that, this is kind of an introduction. In the next couple of weeks or several weeks, I'm going to be jumping into the Ten Commandments a little further. But for this morning, I want to talk to you. The title of the sermon is Then God Spoke. Because if you look at this text, this is really about God communicating. Now, how many of you guys know that relationships are interesting?
Yes.
Come on, how many of you guys are in a relationship? You can all raise your hands. You know somebody. So maybe your relationships are good. Maybe they're bad. I'm not even talking about a husband or wife. Everybody has what?
Relationships.
Now, relationships can be tricky and they're difficult to understand at times. Like you say, what are relationships built on? They're built on honor. They're built on respect. But ultimately, yeah, trust is another good one. All relationships are built on communication. If people aren't interacting, there is no actual relationship. Well, this text is actually about God interacting with us. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard anything other than the Ten Commandments called the Ten Commandments? Anybody ever heard any other phrase for it? No, right? You know that literally, we're going to look at this pretty extensively this morning. Literally, it's the 10 words of God or the 10 sayings of God. It actually, the word does not mean commandment. Now, could you make it mean commandment? Sure. But it's actually, what does God say? That's actually literally what, so it says that then God spoke because God is wanting to interact with people. So the very initial thing is, does everybody know that God speaks?
Of course.
Okay, well, that's Jason and one other person shaking their head. Do y'all know that God still talks, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so what are the ways that God talks? Like just real quick, how does God speak to us? The first one is this, God will speak to you through his word, okay? And I'm going to do this fast. This is not intended, this is just introductory. So 2 Timothy 3:16, if we could get that up on the board, we'll read it together. It says this, that all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So when you think about how does God speak, the number one way that God speaks is what?
Bible.
Through his word. It's the number. In fact, even if God were to speak to you without using his word, if it were contrary to his word, it isn't God speaking.
That's right.
Now, I've had people come and tell me all sorts of crazy. God told me to do this. God told me to leave my wife, leave my husband. God told me to quit this, do that, take this. It's okay. The company took advantage of me so I can use their resources. If the Bible says that that's wrong, then it's what?
Wrong.
It's wrong. So listen, anytime you're talking about how does God speak, it will always be rooted in the scriptures. 100% of the time. It'll never be different. Another way God speaks is he speaks through creation. Now, Psalm 19 says the mere heavens declare the glory of God. You know, how many of you guys have had the weather patterns? What's it been like down here? Because you guys know we live in the high desert. Our weather's been insane. We had like thunderbolt and lightning last night. It was awesome. Like it started pouring rain and the whole sky is lighting up. And you know, you're just out there and the sun is setting and I can't see the colors because I'm colorblind. But the whole sky is like lit up. And this is honestly what I thought. Man, God is cool. Like he created all of that. And we look at it like it's majestic and it's magical. And God was just like, I think maybe we'll make the clouds like that. I think maybe we'll make a static electricity. Yeah, and it'll make noise. That sounds cool too. I wonder how God put it together. I don't know, but I do know this, that when God speaks, he speaks through creation. Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2, it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And the expanse is declaring the work of his hand. So when I look, I'm seeing God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. In other words, God's communication. And night after night, it reveals his knowledge. Another way that God speaks, again, the Ten Commandments is the 10 sayings of God. It's the way that God communicates. God speaks through prophets. Now in Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. It says that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. It says that when God spoke, that he spoke through who? The prophets. So another way God speaks. So he speaks with his word. He speaks through creation. He speaks through prophets. And this is one of my favorites. He speaks through a still small voice. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever heard God talk to him? And like only like 3 hands. Come on, you guys are killing me this morning. How many of you guys heard God talk to you? He speaks. It's that sense of intuition. It's that go this way, son. Go that way, daughter. Don't do this. Don't do. And he's speaking. Now, the story of this is a fabulous story. It's out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And let's read the verse and then I'll talk to you real quick about it. But verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, it says, so he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking it into pieces and breaking the pieces of the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle blowing, a whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, which is like your cape. And he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, the voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, for those of you who don't know, Elijah had just killed the prophets of Baal, and Jezebel threatened to kill him. And he got afraid, so he ran to the cave and he hid. Oh, God, woe is me. I'm the only one left. And God says, no, you're not. There's a remnant, and I'm going to reconnect you, and I'm going to reestablish you. You don't need to worry about Jezebel. She won't get you. See, sometimes in our greatest moments of fear, God will show up and say, you're okay. Anybody ever had that with God? Like all heck is breaking loose. You're like, oh, shoot. What the heck? No, I didn't almost say the other word. I don't use those words. And then all of a sudden God shows up and he speaks, I got you. Be still. I'm with you. Don't worry. Stay in there, son. Don't quit. Stay in there, daughter. I'm with you. You know, if I'm honest, the deepest times I've had God speak to me were in the darkest moments. When everything about your life, you're like, wow. And then God shows up, you're okay, son, I've got you. Because he promised you, he never leave you or forsake you. He's always with you.
That's right.
And I love that about God. So he'll speak through a still, small voice. And then my favorite way God speaks is through Jesus.
Yes.
And this is back to Hebrews in chapter 1. This is verses 1 through 4. And it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, and in many portions, and in many ways, and we covered that he spoke through the prophets. Verse 2, it says, and in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed as the heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So Jesus was in creation. That's important. and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. The radiance of his glory, exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he inherited a more excellent name than they did. So Jesus is radiance and he's representation. He's literally the reflected brightness of the character of the Father. That's literally what Jesus was. So when you see Jesus, you see the heart of the Father. And that's really important, because a lot of times, if we have a skewed understanding of who God is, we will see the Father is against us, Jesus for us. Or maybe Jesus is against us because the Father was heavy. Like, I was watching a debate the other day, and one of the guys was like, why does God kill babies? And the guy's like, God doesn't kill babies. Yes, he does. He kills babies. He allows sickness. No. Evil allows sickness. Sin allows sickness. There is no evil or sin in God. We chose that, not God, right? So God doesn't kill babies. God doesn't strike people down. Sin does that, because the wages of sin is death. That's where it comes from. And so, like, there's so much, like, we can get confused about the things that we think of God, and we want to let the scriptures dictate who God is and how he speaks. So listen, this is really crazy, because if Jesus is the reflected brightness of the character of the Father, you know what's crazy? He's still speaking today to you and me, to us right now. He's still trying to get our attention. And as I said, all good relationships are built on communication. You know, I did premarital with these two, and one of the major topics was, can you guys talk about difficult things? Can you talk with your spouse about difficult things? Because that is the nature of relationship, is learning how to communicate and interact. It's not any different with God. So when God interacts with us, he is coming to us and saying, listen, this is what's best for you. This is what I have for you. See, relationships, again, they're built on communication. And the people of God, like Pastor Russ taught chapter 19, this goes before Mother's Day, and he brought to us the idea that Moses took the people to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, same mountain, and that was a promise of God from Exodus chapter 3, said, listen, you're going to know that I'm with you when you lead the people back to this spot and you worship me together in this spot. And Pastor Russ brought that message to us, and it was crazy, because that is all flowing out of this idea that God is present with people and he's trying to reveal himself and he's trying to fulfill his promises. Now, but if you study chapter 19, you need to know this. It's a fascinating chapter, and it's a fascinating study in how humans behave, particularly in relationship to God. Because they were like, wow, God is big and he's scary and he's loud and there's thunderbolts and lightning, and they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. And Moses is trying to encourage them. And we're going to park there this morning, because that's actually what we want to talk about. But you got to think like this. Anytime the temporal, our everyday life, encounters the eternal God, there's some collisions that happen. The way we think, the way that God desires, what he wants to accomplish. So what was God doing in the people before he even brought the Ten Commandments? Let's look at this in Exodus 19, just a few verses before, verses 5 and 6, he says this. He says, now then, if indeed you obey my voice and you keep my covenant, then you shall be my possession. In other words, I want you to belong to me. Among all of the peoples of the earth, I want you to belong to me, for all of the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of what? Priests. And a what? Okay, you're going to be a kingdom of what? Priest. That's not very convincing, church. You're going to be a kingdom of what?
Priest.
And a holy nation. Did God have a desire?
Yes.
An intent?
Yes.
Okay, so now if you read that, you know that the outflow of that is now the Ten Commandments. So God is saying, listen, if you're going to be the people that represent me in the earth, this is how you should look. This is how you should live. This is how you should behave. So when you get to chapter 20 now and you start to look at the Ten Commandments, it's really God saying, I told you I want to make you priests and a holy nation. This is what that should look like. Has that changed?
No.
No, even Jesus said he fulfilled that. We're going to talk about that next week. Mm-hmm. But man, sometimes I think we get caught up, like, I tell me if this happens with you. There's so much stuff around the Ten Commandments that makes sense that we make it the thing. Listen, instead of God the thing. And what God was doing with the Ten Commandments is like, you got to think like this. You're in a culture where there, it's polytheistic. So there's lots of gods, lots of people worshiping various gods. And God is now going to say, listen, when you go and you represent me to the people, you've got to understand that they have ideas about who God is and what God might look like and the different types of gods that may be worshiped. Like, as we keep studying, we keep going, you're going to see Moloch and Asherah. Like, they would put their babies on burning altars and sacrifice them. And God's like, listen. I don't want you doing any of that craziness. So let me tell you what my people should look like. So when you think Ten Commandments, you should be thinking, listen, God is in relationship with us, and he's speaking to us because communication is the key to what? Relationship. So this isn't God saying, I've got this hierarchy. If you don't do this, I'm going to get you. This is God saying, if you belong to me, my possession, this is how you should look. You should be a people who worship God. You should be a people who don't murder, steal, covet, want your neighbor's wife, commit adultery. You shouldn't be jealous. You should be people who love and serve and offer yourself to others. Does this make sense, church? See, because this is relational. This is not about if you don't do this, you're going to hell. Like, I thought it was great. I was standing out at Huntington Beach Pier, and you guys ever heard of Ray Comfort? Does street witnessing? He does it with Kirk Cameron. You guys have never seen this? You guys should YouTube it. It's actually pretty entertaining. But he'll just go out on the street and he'll say, how do you get to heaven? And people will come and he'll like create discussions like the old style, like literally soapbox preacher. Like I'll show you guys, like soapbox preachers, they stand up on something. So they're a little higher and they talk to people. They're like, what about the Ten Commandments? How do you get to heaven? And one guy goes, you're a good person. He goes, so you think you're a good person. So moral law is how you get to heaven. The guy goes, yep, I'm a good person. He goes, so do you know the Ten Commandments? And then he said to the crowd, anybody in the room know the Ten Commandments? I'm like, ooh, pick me, because I know them. He says, anybody who's not a pastor know them? I'm like, darn it. No one can answer any of them. But then he looks at the guy and he says, hey, listen, the Ten Commandments say don't steal. He said, you ever stole anything? Guy goes, no. He goes, you ever taken a pen from work? You ever printed something at your job for personal use without permission? He said, technically, that's stealing. He said, you ever told somebody that you're doing fine when you're actually doing terribly? He goes, well, yeah, of course. He goes, well, that's called lying. And he just kind of kept going. You ever looked at him? And guy's like, really? And he goes, so you're telling me you're a lying, thieving, like he just walks through. He goes, and then you're good enough to get to heaven? See, you got to get this. The Ten Commandments are not about eternity in the sense of heaven and hell. They're about what God's people should live like. That's what they're like. So a lot of times we get caught up in this. We're like, oh, man, got to follow these. And God is saying, no. If you're my people, this is what my people look like. If you're in relationship with me, then listen to what I say. Really clear, not what I command. Listen to what I say. Now, I got three kids. Anybody else got kids? Okay. Anybody else ever been a kid? Come on. Yeah, it's all of us in the room, every single one of us. You ever had your parents tell you something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they tell you something. You're like, I'm not doing that. That's called what? Disobedience. When your kids disobey, do you just like kick them out?
No.
You're like, somebody said yes. We got to talk. I'm just saying. But no, listen, neither does God. God says, this is the way I want you to live. Oh, you blew it. Wow, let's do something about that. Hey, Jesus, do you think we could do something about, you know, James having an issue with lust or Bobby having an issue with stealing or Jeremy having an issue with lying? I'm making it up as I go. I'm just saying, making them up. These are Ten Commandments. By the way. Jesus, do you think we could do something about this issue? And he says, sure. What if I sacrifice myself so that we can cover over all of their sins? See, that's the connection to the old moral code and Jesus saying that in me, all of the law and the prophets are fulfilled. Watch, you want to know why? Because you could never live out the Ten Commandments. You can try really hard. Anybody ever tried really hard? Listen, I'm a pretty good person. Like, I'm pretty diligent. I'm pretty, like, staid. But there are days. There's days. Anybody ever had days? Come on, you have a day and you're like, if anybody says something wrong to me, I'm getting into them. And then somebody does, and usually it's your husband or wife because you do it to the people closest, and then you act like a complete moron. And then you go like, oh man, I can't meet this moral code. I can't do it. It's just too hard. And Jesus said, I know. That's why I came. However, to look like the people of God, the people of God should be people who are worshipers. We're going to cover that next week. The people of God should be people who treat others the way they'd want to be treated. We're going to cover that next week. Because there's so much about the 10 sayings of God that are really about a relational communication of a loving God about how you and I should live because we belong to Him. Now, listen, I just gave you the best theology you've ever heard in really normal terms. You know why? Because so many people try to jump the hoops of living the Ten Commandments. Listen, should you honor those values? Yes, yes, you really should. But does that make you good before God?
No.
You're good because God is good. Right. You're forgiven because God forgives. Mm-hmm. You're accepted because God accepts. It's not anything you did. It's because He loves you beyond anything you could ever imagine. So Exodus 20, verse 1, just a few verses, and then we're going to wrap up. Then God spoke all these words. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And it says, I'm the God, the Elohim, the word used in the ancient culture for God. This was not just the God Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews. Other people would have used this in their common language, that they would say Elohim is the word for God. But it says that God spoke, He debarred, He spoke, He declared, He conversed, He gave promises. Now, you guys know that God gives you promises because He's in communication. He's in relationship with you. Words, He said, man, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak with one another. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give you answers. I'm going to say in one's heart, I'm going to think, I'm going to command, I'm going to promise, I'm going to intend. Listen, you got to think like this with God. He wants to talk to you. Somebody say this, God wants to talk to me. You can say this too. I'm not a very good listener. No, I'm playing. But the truth is, most of us have a hard time with this. I'm speaking as your pastor. This is the hard part. This is where the rubber meets the road. I don't think God is lacking in direction. I think we have two ears and we don't use them as twice as much as we speak. Just saying, I don't think we listen as well as we could. Does this make sense? And I think what God is saying is, listen, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you what's in my heart for you. Because that's literally what it means when He says the words are the sayings. It means to say what is in one's heart to another person. And He says, man, Elohim, I am the Lord Yahweh. Now that's the other word for God, the ever-existing, the all-existing one, the one who's present. Listen, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who will be. Yeah, always. God is present. That's why Steve's singing that song about presence and me knowing that, man, there are times where in life we just need God's direction. Well, when we need His direction, He's the God who promises to be present in every season of our lives. I know, amen is right, huh? Man, you ever been through a hard season? Come on, everybody has. And just God is with you. And you're like, man, and it's not because you deserved for Him to be with you. It's because He loves you. No differently than our kids when they struggle, I want to be around them because I want to help them navigate the issue. I don't want to walk up and go, oh, that was a really stupid decision. Good luck with that. I want to get in, okay, what are you going to do about it? How can we help you out? Let's walk through this situation. Let's figure it out together. Let me help you prevent some of the fallout of this, possibly. I think God does exactly the same thing with us. And He says, man, I'm the God who was, and I took you out of the house of slavery, out of bondage, because I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to understand who I am. See, this is exactly what God is up to. He's building values. He's not building commandments. He's saying, this is what it looks like to be in relationship with me. Now, what's wild about this, and only because of time, I have to, yeah, I got to go pretty fast because we're pretty much out of time. See, God, when He starts talking to them, He gives them a commandment. And He says this, you shall have no other gods before me. Incidentally, when you read that in English, it's actually an imperative. The way that it's phrased, and it's true of the Hebrew as well. But most of us would not say, you shall have no. That's not how you would phrase it. But because it's an imperative, God is saying this. If you belong to me, don't place anything before me. That's all he's saying. But the phrasing of it is, if you belong to me, I won't allow you to do this. It's bad for you. It's destructive for you. Okay, so let's talk. Let's be honest for a moment. You don't have to tell me what yours is. We've all got them. What's before God in your life? We've all got them. I don't care who you are. Here we go, oh, no, no. God is first. Yeah, I know. Principally, God is always what?
First.
And actually, practically, God is always what?
First,
because he's God. But actually, in our everyday life, is God 100% first?
No.
No, he's not. Now, we're growing in that. Somebody say amen. Like, I'm really glad that God is patient. But the reality is not any one of us in this room prioritize God first in every single area of our life. So what are the things that hinder you? Is it your husband? Your wife? Work? What other things might hinder you?
Sleep.
Well, sleep's a good one. God, I'm too tired to read this morning. What about kids? What about your friends? Ooh, some of those friends, I'm just saying. Some of those friends, they're bad. They can be bad for you. There's lots of things. Maybe, is it your stability, your house, your income? Is it your rebellious attitude? Ooh, I didn't just say that, did I? Is it your my way or the highway? Not letting God be all authority, all authoritative. Everybody has something. Maybe it's your indifference, not stepping in, stepping out because it's easier. Don't want to make waves. I like keeping the peace. I don't like stirring the waters. I want everybody to be happy all the time, so I'm not going to say anything, even though that's wrong and it bothered me. And I'm just going to leave it alone because I don't want to create. We all have them. What's the thing you place before God? We all have them. Now, this is really important. When you identify those, that's where you say, God, help. I can't change this, but I'm willing to let you. That is so important in our walk with God, you guys. He's not, I say this all the time, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progression. He wants you to keep moving with him. He wants you to grow in him. He doesn't want you to be perfect. No one can be perfect 100% of the time. See, God's 10 imperatives, his 10 sayings, they're relational imperatives. Fruitful life flows when you practice these. Listen, I don't need to tell anybody who's been through a broken relationship, a divorce, a struggling marriage, a failed marriage. I don't need to tell them that this was difficult because they lived it. And God said, don't let that happen. They're like, but I tried it. And I know people who've been through it, tried really hard, and it's still fractured. And they will sit on that side of the divorce saying, that was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced. They'll tell you that. How do I know that? Because I talk to people. And I know that to be true. Is there condemnation in that? No, but God said, if you avoid that, there's a fruitfulness in it. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I don't want you to mishear what I'm saying. If you made a failure, made a mistake, maybe they cheated on you. I don't know. I'm not saying that you're the end of the world. You've done the most wrong thing ever. But I do know this, that the way that it runs through the human heart is with guilt and shame. That's why God said, no, don't go there. Like I tell young people, like even when I counsel you guys, man, I keep pointing to them because they just got married. Super fun. I officiated their wedding. I did all their premarital. But listen, I tell any young person about to get married, make sure. They say, why? Well, why? Like, because divorce is so common in our culture. You guys know that? Mm-hmm. And God said he hates it. Mm-hmm. By the way, the divorce rate in the church, the last stat that I looked at, was actually higher than in the world. So that clearly tells us that we don't understand what it means to reflect. Now, it was close. It was like 54 to 53%, but it wasn't like, that means half of all marriages in the churches are failing. That's tragic, I think. I really do think that's tragic. Is there condemnation? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this, is that when you live out God's values, there's a fruitfulness in it. There's a blessing that goes with it. Is it challenging? Heck yeah, because she's in the room or he's in the room. I know it's challenging. I've been married 25 years. We just celebrated 25 years. Well, thank you for that. I'm looking at Dan and Marcy. What do you guys got? Like 53. And where's Judy and Bill? You guys are 55. Steve, you just celebrated what, 30? 43. I was low on it. A lot of years. A lot of years. It's remarkable. But man, there's times I wanted to kick her out of the house. I'm just telling you the truth. I did. I love her, but I didn't always like her. I'm just saying. And she would say the same. She'd say the same. So we know this, that when we practice what God says, there's a fruitfulness in it. There's a grace that's given. Even when you want to quit, he gives you the strength not to. Like that's why it's so important that we understand. So when you think about this, like quickly, just from his name, God's name and his nature, they're always connected. I teach you guys this all the time. When God says, I'm everywhere all the time and I'm with you no matter what, that is who God actually is. So when we talk about who is God, like Elohim, the name I quoted to you, it's just God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word Elohim, listen, this is God's name. It means he wants to make himself known, intense power, intense glory. That word comes from the word El, which is literally God, or to move towards something. The one who goes to people to help them. The root idea is this, that God is always serving and giving himself to other people. So when you think of why should I worship God first? Because God is giving himself to me. That's a gift, you guys, man. That's such an enormous gift. I just want to encourage you, don't misuse that gift. 47, okay, I'm going fast now. Just hang in there, you guys. I'm almost done, I promise. You guys are like, you guys seem pretty interested though, I'm just saying. So anyways, Elohim, El is the root, God giving of himself. Elim is the root, it means this, it means to bind something together. It means this, that God is the one holding your world together. So he says, why should you not worship any other God? Because I'm the one holding you together. I spoke you into existence, all the molecules and atoms and all the stuff that make you up, that make James up, I'm the one who holds them together. Like, you got to think this, like God did creation. He set the earth the perfect distance from the sun, at the perfect tilt from the sun, spinning at the perfect timing, 24-hour day, to stay in its spot from the sun. Listen, you tilt it a little further and we cook or freeze, either one. He set it up perfectly, and then he wired you in the middle of it. Like people tell me, oh man, evolution, primordial goo. I'm like, I ain't no goo. I was created by the God of all gods. I didn't come from a frog or some other thing. Like, I didn't. I know we laugh because we're all, but there are people who believe that. And God's like, listen. I want you to understand that I'm the God that binds everything together. I put it all together. And then God, the next word he uses is his covenant name, Yahweh. We make it become Jehovah by adding some vowels in it. Same word. And that is the God who is the ever-present one. And back in chapter 6, when God shows himself to Moses at the burning bush, he says this to him. This is chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. He said, God spoke further to Moses and he said to him, I'm the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, the Lord Elohim. That's the word. Then he says, but by my name, remember, name and nature tied together, Lord Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. The first time God reveals himself by name is to Moses. Wow. Very powerful. And he says, listen, I'm the ever-present one. I was with them there. I'm with you now, and I'm going to lead you in to the promised land. Now, I want to close with this thought because I've been kind of wrestling around with this idea of relationship and God and what does God say? Like this idea of God speaking to us out of relationship versus commanding us the or else God. Now, I've shared with you guys on many occasions, I grew up as a Catholic kid. Anybody else grew up as a Catholic kid? By the way, no slam on the Catholic Church. This is not what I'm saying at all. But my experience of God in the Catholic Church was very Ten Commandment oriented. And you're either doing the right thing or you're doing the wrong. This is my experience. This may not be yours. But if you're doing the wrong, you're definitely about to get smitten by God. I was always afraid of God. And I don't mean afraid like a healthy fear, reverence of God. I mean like, he's going to snuff me out like poof, blow me into smithereens. I was just always afraid of them because that was my experience as a kid growing up with this idea of like 10 commandments and this dictatorial God. And as I started to discover who God was and I started to build relationship, I realized this wasn't about him telling me do this or don't do that or I'm going to get you. It was about this. I love you. We're in a relationship and I want you to be free and fruitful. And for you to be free and fruitful, you need to make me first. Don't put anything else before. To be fruitful, don't make any images. That's not good. To be fruitful, don't use my name in vain. Don't assign evil to me because I'm not an evil God. Oh, remember to rest. Like, make the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. We're going to do this next week. I'll get into it next week. But this is God saying the way that I interact with you is somebody who belongs to me is practice these things and you will be fruitful. But for me, I was so afraid of God growing up. I just always thought he's going to get me. And as I started to like press into this text, I started to see some traits with my own younger person understanding of God. And this might apply to some of you and what I understand today. And even still the wrestling that goes on in the middle of those two. So God says, listen, go talk to the people and tell them I want to be their God. Now this is chapter 19 and they go up to Mount Horeb and Moses goes up the mountain. Now when Moses is up the mountain, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's earthquakes, there's wind. I don't know, if you guys are seeing thunder, lightning, earthquake, and winds, are you guys running for your life? And God's like, hey, just come up here and talk to me. And you're like, no, I'm good, I'll stay right here. And that's exactly what's happening. And Moses is like, hey, come on. God wants you to experience his power. And look what the people say. Now we're into chapter 20. I just told that for background. We're going to wrap up right now. Exodus 20, verse 18. It says, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when they saw it, they trembled and they stood at a distance. That was me growing up. I just was so afraid, like, man, if I do anything wrong, he's going to get me. Watch, it goes on. Verse 19, it says, then they said to Moses, listen, you speak to us yourself, and we're going to listen, but let not God speak to us. Okay, so two things. You speak to us, and we'll listen. Did they listen?
No, we
know they didn't. And as we study more, we're going to realize they did. They're not going to listen to Moses no more than they would listen to God. But they said, man, don't let God speak to us or we will die. That's how afraid they were. Like, we think we're going to die. Verse 20, he says, Moses said to the people, hey, don't be afraid. Like, I know that fear is gripping you. Don't be afraid, for God has come in order to test you. Watch, by the way, when God tests, he's not testing because he needs to understand something. He's testing because you do. God doesn't need to test us to figure out where we're at. He knows. He's all-knowing, remember? He puts tests in our lives so that we can discover where we're at, where we need to grow, how we actually compare. He said, listen, don't be afraid. God has come in order to test you and in order that the fear of him may remain with you. In other words, you should reverence him because he is the God Almighty, created everything. He's also the covenant God who was with you, who is with you, who will be with you. He's both. He said, you should fear him and remain with you so that you don't sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Okay, so I want to wrap up with this thought, and then I'm going to send you guys out to go get some lunch. One of my experiences has been, this is my own life, it's also been in my pastoral role, walking with people and encouraging them. The number one reason that I've experienced that people stay away from God, I'm not saying that this is the number one reason, I'm saying this is the number one reason I've experienced, is that people fear God. But not healthy fear, like I reverence him, he's worthy to be praised. Like I don't want to, like you wouldn't believe how many times I've had somebody come to me and say, hey, pastor, could you pray for me and then tell me what God says? Look, some of you have done it. I love you. I do pray for you. And if he talks to me, I do tell you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. But this is always what I'll say back. Why don't you go talk to him? Why don't you go listen to him? See, because when Jesus came, he said that he gave us access to go boldly before the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. So when you need to know what God is up to, you get to go yourself. But the people went, oh, well, wait a minute. There's thunderbolts and lightning, and I don't want to get anywhere near that. So let's put this in modern terminology. God might say no, and I don't want him to say no. I just tell on all of us. I don't really want to go ask God, because if he says no, I really, really want to do this, and I really, really want this car and this house and this job and this. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm afraid he might say no. That's the number one reason, I have experienced as a pastor for why people don't walk closely with God. Because I just don't want to obey him. I don't want to do what he says. I don't want to give when he says give. I don't want to serve when he says serve. I don't want to avoid sin when he says go the other way. I just don't want to do that. I want to be in control of my world. I want to lead my own life. And that right there, in Pastor James's estimation, is the number one reason people don't grow deeper in Christ. The number one reason. Because they just don't want to hear what he would say about any respective thing and then honor him as God. That is the people. God is saying, listen, I want you to be in communication relationship with me. This is how you should live. And they went, oh, no. Moses, just go and tell us what to do. Hey, Pastor James, just go pray and tell me what God says. You know, man, what's funny about that is when I tell people what God says, when he does speak to me, they don't listen to me any more than they would listen to Moses or God. So it's a bad model is the point I'm making. It doesn't work. So oftentimes I will encourage people, why don't you go talk to him? Or why don't we talk to him together right now? It's called prayer. Let's pray right now and ask God. Let's see if he talks to you. So like when we do worship and I pause everything and I say, hey, listen, because God talks in moments. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to create space for you to listen. Because I know in our busy lives, it's hard to stop and do what? It's hard to stop and listen. But listen, as we go through the Ten Commandments, what I want you to grab a hold of more than anything else is this is a relational communication from God to his people. This is not about a do this and don't do that, even though that's part of it. This is about God saying, if you belong to me, this is what belonging to me looks like. Worship God, put him first. Don't steal your neighbor's stuff. Honor your father and mother. Ooh, wait till we get to that one. Because we've all struggled with honoring our fathers and mothers. Listen, I want you guys to walk out like with this sense. All of this is intended by God to build a deeper communication of relationship with us so that as we walk in freedom. But freedom, as I said to the young men when we prayed to them, freedom comes with responsibility. Mm-hmm. So those whom the Son has set free, yeah, you are free indeed. Mm-hmm. But that means you're also free to choose evil. And God said, I don't want you to choose evil. I want you to choose what? Me. Life. I want you to choose life. Okay, so with that, I'm looking at the time. We went a little long. I love you guys. Can I pray for you? Just pray for you and want to pray over a couple things and then we'll just bow out this morning. You guys can go to your next event, which is likely lunch. So I want to pray over fear primarily because I know this, that perfect love casts out all fear. So we are loved perfectly in God. And I don't want us to operate as people who operate in fear because we're worried about what God might say or what he might say no to. So, Father, I want to pray over us as a church this morning. And I know that this was foundational. I know that this was just the groundwork for what we're going to jump into in the coming weeks. And, God, more than anything else, I just pray that you would break off the sense of fear that is unhealthy. Not all fear is evil. Some fear is reverent. It's placing you where you belong. But God, I want to pray over that fear that is not rooted in love. It's actually afraid of you or afraid of what you might say or do or direct. God, I pray that you would help our hearts to be humble, that you would help us to be people who are attentive, who listen, who desire to walk with you, who desire to obey you, but not because we'll be right or wrong or good or bad with you, but like anything, that we would represent our Father well. God, I pray for everybody in the room today, those online, that you would give us a grace to hear your voice, the various ways you speak through the Word of God, through prophetic people, through the still small voice, through creation, through Jesus himself. God, that you would help us to hear what you're saying to each one of us. God, build in us a passion, a hunger to discover you, to know you, to hear your voice, and then to obey it. So God, as we go today, I just pray that we go with the grace of the living God, knowing that it wasn't a bunch of rules. It was really about relational communication with the loving, living God for each one of our lives. So God, as we go, we pray that you would cover us, that you would keep us, and that you would help us to discover you in a deeper way, a deeper way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Hey, love you guys. Have a great rest of your Sunday. If you do need prayer, some of the ministry team will be available to pray. Otherwise, have a great rest of your Sunday. And don't forget to go eat some barbecue today because it benefits the Thailand team. And let them know that you're going on behalf of Summit. All right. God bless you guys.